B-Pod Studios.
This is Charlie McAvoy.
We got drilled by McAvoy, who stepped up and leveled him.
On your home for Bruins hockey, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
I mean, look at us. We are just three intimidating sons of bitches.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Fred Toucher being an unhinged idiot, and Fred Toucher's a mouth-breathing jackass and a liar. Fred, by the way, I'll be up there in July to see the in-laws for vacation. So instead of calling and trying to bully my producer, you're welcome to bring your complaint straight to me. My name's on the show. So instead of harassing Julian, just let me know when you're free, and I'll stop by in July and we can figure this out like grown men. Otherwise, be a man, act like a grown-up, and stop acting like a victim, and please stop lying when you got the whole damn thing started in the first place. And that's today's Garage Door Guru opening topic of the day. Fred Toucher's a jackass and a liar. Stop it. Get some help.
Okay, so that was from 3 years ago. The Bruins are going to play Carolina in the playoffs. So I figured 3 years ago, this will be very quick. We're not doing an hour on it again today. But
there's been some developments
there's developments that are inexcusable. This guy is a real piece of crap. And I'm not kidding. It's not funny to me anymore. I mean, he's a deplorable person. And so, and a jackass and a liar. I mean, everything he called me, he is for real. So anyway, I hung up on this hick that's a stupid reporter for Carolina, and everyone lost their minds because they're dumb hicks. And then this guy heard about it and had his producer call me to do the show. I couldn't do the show because they were owned by the same company that did EEI. Now, they might have had Maz and Zolak on, but I get asked to be on a lot of shows. Ooh, humble brag. I feel so great about it. And I was told by management not to do any intercom shows. So I said no. So then I asked the kid where he got my number. The kid wouldn't tell me, which is insane. I was like, F you, like, you know, and I swore at him. And then so the kid blocked me and went and cried to this tough guy. And on he went. So yesterday we revisited it because Mike and Rich had been talking about it before the show, and they remembered it and they thought it was funny because it is.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was like how long after it's official that Carolina's going to be playing the Bruins? Are the articles going to come out that reference Fred and all of that stuff? And there was like, oh, yeah, remember that guy who challenged Fred to a fight? We wanted to come
right
up here and
this
fight
could
him
be as official as soon as the end of the Bruins game tonight.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah. So, and so what's funny to me about the fighting thing is, like, how far do you want to take this? Like, you're never going to fight me. So, like, how long can this facade go?
Right, you're really going to come up here.
No, it's never
going
to happen. So it's funny to me. And so I thought, at least during the Bruins series, this could be like a fun thing. Like, how long is this kid going to pretend he's going to fight me? and like, how long are you going to do this to your audience? So we did an hour on it yesterday. We had some fun. All right. Then the kid catches wind of this on Twitter, and he had some things to say about me.
Yeah. So there was a listener who said, here comes the Toucher Rich Army to storm Kyle Billy's mentions. And they had like a Braveheart thing. It was kind of funny, which wasn't even a big deal. People weren't even like doing much. And he tweeted back and said, imagine being a grown man who willingly identifies as a member of Toucher Rich's Army. Sad. Also, if Fred's out of the loony bin, I'll gladly go ahead and whip that guy's ass.
Okay, fair enough. I made the comments 2 years ago that I was going to a loony bin, even though I wasn't. Fair enough. But, again, he stated that he was going to whip my ass. Unironically, mm-hmm, not as a joke. I'm not mad at the loony bin thing, but he said, no jokes about it, he's going to kick my ass. Continue.
All right, so another listener like went back and said, nice loony bin reference. And Kyle Bailey tweeted him back and said, I couldn't give a blank less about Fred's mental health. In fact, I hope to make things worse for him when we finally get a chance to meet.
Okay, so fair enough. I don't care about his mental health. Why should he care about mine? Okay.
But that's a second reference
all right
to him wanting to meet you face-to-face to fight.
This is 100% true, I swear, on the life of my children. While this was all going on, and he was saying directly that he was going to kick my ass, he was calling our program director on his cell phone. He was calling my boss on his cell phone to, I don't know, he certainly wasn't calling him to get flight information on to where to kick my ass. He was calling him to obviously tell him to knock it off. So not only is this guy pretending that he's going to kick my ass and to something that's never going to happen, he's also telling on me and like complaining to the person who is my boss about the things we're saying about him on the air.
And
can you be any more of a pussy fraud? Like, I mean, it was all fun and funny because I wanted to see how long this guy would claim he's going to kick my ass. Fine, sure, kick my ass, whatever. I told Rich, I go, if this lasts through the Carolina series, this is great. Like, he'll just keep saying he's going to kick my ass. It's never going to happen, and we can keep making fun of him. But now it's all over because he went and called my boss. I mean... Think of your own life. If so, can you imagine? Like, so you work at Jiffy Lube, and a customer comes in and he goes, "I'm going to kick your ass. I'm kicking your ass. I'm coming back here and kicking your ass." And you go, "All right, cool. Kick my. We'll fight." And then he goes home and calls your boss and tells him that you're mean. Like what the hell is wrong with him?
Well, there's also different levels.
Did he think I was like not going to like tell everyone that he called my boss? Like what's he's a mental patient. First of all, nice use of the word loony bin. Like what are you in a Don Knotts film?
Well, the name of his show is The Clubhouse.
I mean, what is this? You're in the movie Six Pack. old Uncle Jed's in the loony bin. But I mean, what a complete pussy. Did we hurt your feelings? Did we go over the line?
It would have been bad enough if he was to send an email to our program director. It would have been double bad if he would have actually called him on the office line. But he wanted to make sure that the program director got this message and he got his cell phone number somehow and called him on his cell phone.
Like, do you think...
Multiple times.
And do you think that you're, like, nobody, like, hick, garbage show, no money-making ass is going to get me fired? What's the end game? I'm so much more powerful than you. Like, what are you going to do to me? You can't do anything to me. You have, like, 7,000 followers on Twitter, which is amazing, considering you are on the air 20 hours a week. Like what are you going to do to me? You're not going to do anything to me. You can't. There's nothing you can do. What are you going to get me fired? That's never going to happen.
I have the phone number of their station. We could try to talk to their GM, you know, his program director.
Yeah, that's how I want
to say he's being mean to me.
It would never occur to me in a billion years to call someone's boss. In a billion years. In any, I can't think of a scenario short of someone robbing me where I call someone's boss.
And by the way, he was the first one to start all this about, I want to fight him. Fred has every right to be pissed about it.
I had no idea who the kid was. He went off on me. He started calling me. I don't know. What do I know? The kid from the afternoon guy on the Charlotte station. He called me. He wouldn't tell me where he got the number. I swore at his program director or his producer. Then he went on the air the next day and informed everyone he was going to kick my ass. And then 3 years go by. We replay the audio and he gets on Twitter and, you know, says he's going to send me back to the loony bin and that he's going to kick my ass, says he's going to kick my ass. And in the meantime, is complaining to our program director.
He said
about being mean.
People are saying, so basically he's the hick version of Jim Gray. That is the truth.
But Jim Gray never said he was going to kick my ass.
No, but he did call our program director.
Fine, but this is 100 times worse. Jim Gray didn't go like, I'm going to kick your ass, Fred, and then call our program director and say we're being mean. I mean, make up your mind. First of all, like real good radio skills where you're paid to like, you know, use your mind to just resort to you're going to kick my ass. Something that in a million years was never going to happen.
Can we find out what he actually said? Because we didn't really even find out what he said.
What, to Rick?
Yeah.
Rick never, to my understanding, Rick had no intention of ever calling him back.
So it was a voicemail?
Yeah, he called him at least a couple times.
Must have left a voicemail. Otherwise, it'd just be a phone.
No, he left a voicemail. Yeah. I didn't ask Rick what it was.
Does he have a thing on his phone that says we can play your voicemails?
No. I wonder if he talks like that too. Like, hey, I'm calling to talk about those morons in the morning. They're being awful mean. So it's over now. Now the whole fun thing is over. Now it's ruined.
Wow.
So he wins.
Multiple voicemails.
Yeah, Rick said he sent him multiple voices. He called them multiple times. And then he said, how the hell did he get my phone number?
He said, who gave him my cell number?
I don't know. This guy apparently has got like private investigators and S. Like, I don't know how he's got my cell phone, this guy's cell phone. By the way, why did he call me? Like, right. If he's so upset, why didn't he call me?
He's got your number.
I've had a guy call me. The station in Chicago that Taibbi did the chapter in his book about.
Right.
The guy called me. And he's like, look, dude, I'm like 65 years old. Like, I have no intention of, I don't want to get into like a radio thing. So I'm just telling you now, I'm not doing it. And I went, fair enough. And I go, that's great. Have a nice life. Mm-hmm. And that's what my thing was. Well, if he is such a concern, that's right. I never thought of that. He has my telephone number.
He could call you.
Why didn't
instead...
he call me? Like a big man.
Yeah, just, you know,
deal with... get me fired, the big nobody. Everyone's going to get me fired. Brian, go ahead.
Freddie, what a situation you are in. The first thing is, like, how did this guy get his number, get your boss's
number?
No
idea.
But I just want to say, he's like the Karen of sports radio. He's calling your manager and saying, you know, this guy's harassing me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Harassing him. Yeah, he's the one who's harassing me.
He's the one who said he was going to fight Fred.
I'm doing a comedy show, by the way. Our intention is to be funny. He's not doing anything funny. He's not doing anything funny. He's just saying he's such a dolt and has no imagination or comedic skills that his go-to is he's going to kick my ass, which is such an enjoyable ride for the listener. We took his audio and had a fun time with it for an hour. Funny stuff, which is the whole intent is to entertain the audience. And now it's over because he's a big pussy.
So it said, tell Fred that he'll meet him and then send Sarge with his WWE belts.
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you the lack of respect I have for the guy. I mean, I really do.
Fred, can I fly you down there?
I'm not going to Charlotte. I'm not going to Charlotte. I have no intention in fighting him.
Listen, there's very few times. It's like when you are a country and you have like an arsenal and mm-hmm. you never want to have to use it.
Mm-hmm.
There's very few times.
You think it would act as a deterrent by having the arsenal.
There's very few times that I feel that maybe, just maybe, we would have to get John from Vegas on board.
All right. I'm not responsible if John from Vegas gets involved. If John from Vegas gets involved.
How's he doing?
He's around.
Okay.
If he still listens.
Am I shining the signal?
I like where your head's at.
I'm telling this, and this is on the record. If John from Vegas gets involved with this guy, it's out of my hands. You know, I have nothing to do with it.
I'm not going to even call on John from Vegas to do it. You know what? I am going to step back because John from Vegas.
What was the show that John Vegas screwed with?
He got through every show. He got through to Hannity. He got through and talked about us. He got through to, what's his name half the time? Who's the dude who was on The Fan? Francesa.
You know Francesa what? I wouldn't mind if the listeners ruined his show today. Like, I think that's a fair trade. Like, I'm not telling you, like, if you got nothing else to do between 2 and 6 today, what station is he on in Charlotte?
WFNZ is the name of it.
WFNZ?
WFNZ.
If you got nothing to do this afternoon is he on from 2 to 6?
2 to 6, yeah.
2 to 6.
If I listened to him for a little while yesterday. It was really good stuff. It was really entertaining. You can tell he's the kind of brilliant mind that just goes, I'm going to kick your ass. If you have nothing better to do from 2 to 6 and you want to kill some time, just ruin his show. Just call in and ruin it.
Listen,
I think that's a fair trade.
John from Vegas, I'm telling you, don't do it. Whatever you do.
Well, I'm not responsible for John.
I'm not either. I'm not responsible.
I'm dead serious. I'm not getting in trouble because John from Vegas.
No, I'm not either. So, John whatever you do, don't do this. Don't do your witching ways.
Be Real says, why don't you have that thug Peter Kiss fight for you? He loves violence.
No one's fighting anybody. That's
why
it was so dumb.
The NBA draft.
That's why it would. Man, it would have been so fun because it was so stupid. It was like arguing with like a total blockhead moron that with a brain injury. I'm going to kick your ass. Well, you're not. So now you can't do anything because that's never going to happen. But now he had to call my boss. You know what? If you want to ruin his show today, please do. Go ahead. I'll think it's funny. We'll play the audio tomorrow.
He won't take one call this morning.
Well, that would be fantastic because he's such a no talent. He probably needs to take calls to fill 4 hours. If someone sabotages our show on the phones, it wouldn't matter. We could go a year without taking a phone call.
That's true. Sometimes we almost do.
And so, this unskilled prick, you'd ruin his show. He wouldn't know what to do. So much going on in Charlotte, and the day of the draft, which would really screw him up. Because you know he's got to take phone calls.
Right.
Because they got the sixth pick and they need a quarterback. Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not telling you what to do, but it would make me happy if you screwed with him a little bit today. That would make me happy.
Is that the sound of our program director's phone going off again? Mm-mm.
Oh, well, I'm not breaking the law. I'm just telling people to call a public radio show. Mm-hmm. I don't know the guy's cell phone number, so I can't do anything. I'm out on him. But if you call him, we'll play the audio tomorrow. But I'm out with this guy. So he wins. Congratulations. You've covered yourself in glory. In the battle of wits, you are a true champion. On one hand, I mean, how did you get into radio? So like, your ability to like think on the fly is so great.
So we just said if someone wanted to sabotage the TNR show, they just run a Disney giveaway.
Yes, exactly.
On another station.
Right.
That's right. Rock the cash box.
I mean, what a beautiful mind that guy has the subtle ways that he can take jabs at you. I mean, the idea is to entertain, and boy, is he an entertainer. I'm going to fight him. And then he's going to call the program director. I mean, it's really watching brilliance unfold in front of you. I hope he's paid very, very well, because he deserves every penny. So, yeah, screw with his show. It would be fun. And then it would be funny to hear tomorrow. We'll take a break with that stuff. All right, so because I'm out on this guy calling my boss. Could get you fired. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Toucher and Rich.
It sounds like the biggest nightmare, and why anyone would choose it, I don't know.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Certainly, he'll get that reevaluation at the 14-day, two-week point next week. But you know, I'm told that injury is expected to keep him out longer than that. It's not there's not a sense that he's going to get reevaluated at 2 weeks, then all of a sudden be back at practice and be ready to play. That's a benchmark in this process, but the Bucks certainly, they may have to get through another series, a conference semifinal, before they may have the opportunity to get Chris Middleton back.
All right, so we are Toucher and Rich. Real quick, did you see the antics during the Cardinal game yesterday?
No, I did not. What did I miss?
All right, so Rich, in baseball now, everyone's getting hit by pitches, and the players are saying they deadened the ball, which is good. I'm glad they did. But they're saying it's different, and so pitchers have less control of the ball, and Pete Alonso gets hit Pete Alonso stands on the plate. So he got hit in the head with a changeup.
I've seen the video of him getting hit in the head.
Yeah, so he with a changeup. I mean, the guy didn't mean to do it. And they threw it at Arenado yesterday at the end of the game.
Oh, I read about this. I didn't see it.
And
I read
Arenado,
about this.
Arenado went halfway to the mound.
Bench clearing.
Yeah, it was a tickle fest.
Oh, it was another stare down?
Unlike, but yeah. I saw some, both of you might have retweeted it, not like the actual minor league game that was in Portland.
Oh, oh, where the dude just like did the full on Terry Tate off his linebacker.
That guy, Tyreek Reed. Yes, he's 6'1", 255, walked halfway to first base, turn, took a left turn, went right at the pitcher, and dropped him with a straight right before anyone could get to him.
When he hit him, the guy went back like a cartoon.
That was awesome. Fell.
I mean, this was, go back and watch, if you haven't seen it, find it, watch it.
There it's on our Twitter account.
So many bench clearing, you know, stare downs. Once in a while, you get somebody tackles another guy. This was, I'm coming after you, and he hit him with a straight right hand and dropped him, and the guy stayed down.
Oh, you and I are thinking of different ones. I'm talking about the one that happened where the pitcher ran as the guy was rounding third.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's like a junior college thing.
This
is Portland, the Red Sox AA affiliate. One of the guys got hit
Dogs.
By a pitch.
Okay, I've seen the Sea Dogs one, too.
The Sea Dogs one,
yeah.
That was a one-punch knockout.
Yeah, which you never see.
No.
So, yeah.
Because at worst, you usually get like a cleating. You know, you'll see stuff like that.
This was legit. I'm pissed. I'm coming after you, and no one can catch me.
No, because he was perfectly content running the first. And then the pitcher just started mouthing off to him like an idiot. I would have stayed the hell away from that guy.
Huge.
All right. So there is breaking news.
Yes.
Yeah. So that clip we just played right there was Adrian Wojnarowski talking about Chris Middleton, saying that maybe it's not going to be, he's not going to be as back as soon as we thought. Originally, there was hope that Chris Middleton would return somewhere between the second and third game
because
of the series.
There's such a gap. There's like a 4 or 5 day gap between the two. But we have this tweet from Sham Sharania, and I'll just read it straight as it's written here. The left MCL injury of Bucks all-star Chris Middleton is a grade 2 sprain. He is expected to miss the entire second round series against the Celtics.
Huge. Huge.
Yeah, that is a monster injury for this series.
That's Jaylen Brown being out. Like, that is the equivalent. That is massive. You have a pure Celtics killer who is not going to be on the floor. Now, they seem to do okay, you know,
well,
having
it's more Chicago, and
against Chicago.
We all wanted the
different
Celtics to play Chicago in the first round, too. Right. So take that for what it's worth. And Chicago didn't have Zach LaVine and Alex Caruso last night either. That was a, relatively speaking, easy win for Milwaukee without Middleton. But this tips the scales an entirely different way. And we had the Bankroll Boys in here. Give Dan Lifschitz credit. Dan Lifschitz sat here and said he had heard that Middleton wasn't going to play in this series, and he's absolutely right.
And the other thing, too, is if you look statistically at how Chris Middleton plays against the Celtics, as I was saying, he's better than his league average. It's just for some reason he consistently plays better against the Celtics. Now, not only is he out, and it sounds like for the entire series, which is such a gift, but we don't know the status of George Hill either, because he's day-to-day. I know that Budenholzer, I think, after yesterday's game, was asked about his status, and he didn't seem to think that there was any, like he needed more time, I think was the way that he phrased it. George Hill, it's going to be a little bit until
he
returns.
But again, Hill's like the eighth or ninth guy.
It doesn't matter.
That's minor.
It takes that bench and it shortens it when you already have one of your starters, your second-best player, out for this series. I mean, it's really everything. So now the Celtics, it's going to be a tough series.
It will be a disappointment. I mean, it was going to be a disappointment anyway. But if the Celtics do not beat this team, it will be a big disappointment.
Yes. Yeah, it will be. And
I still contend that it's people will overreact because it is the defending champion, and you know, maybe the best player on the planet, and for now, really maybe the best player on the planet.
Yeah.
He's better than Durant now.
Yeah, now there's no question. I mean,
I don't know if he's the best player on the planet, but I will tell you he's better than Durant now.
Put it this way. Giannis is going to get his. He's going to find a way to score, and he's going to find a way to take over a game. Now, Durant saved himself a little bit in that final game.
He had one good game,
but to be lost for, you know, 3 games in a row and not being able to figure things out, you know, that's an indictment on the superstar power that he has. Giannis is going to find a way, especially with Middleton out. He's going to have to find a way to carry this team on his back.
Right.
But it's going to be, as I said, the buckets are not going to be as easy to get for the Celtics. I mean, because there were times where it just seemed like they could get anything they wanted. You know, right now, the Bucks statistically are the best team in this playoffs in the first round. Like, they had statistically the best series of anyone. They've played great defense the entire year. And also, they got size. That's another thing that they've got, you know, compared to Brooklyn.
And by the way,
the height on these guys.
People are talking about how close it was a difference of 18 points in the entire series against Brooklyn.
Yeah,
I contend that that's good, a good thing.
No, no, no. It shows that they were able to win these close games because they were blowing out everybody.
Right. So, I mean, you could look at it and you can go, you know, Milwaukee killed an inferior team, and that's fine. But I look at, I think playing those close games is a big advantage.
Especially in an elimination game where it's close, you don't have your best player, and you hang on in the last three minutes to knock two Hall of Famers out of the first round in a sweep.
You should be
in their building. That's huge.
You should beat Milwaukee. I mean, you should.
You should.
And this is the, and then this might be the last series you should win. Now, is this the last series you will win? That I'm not saying.
I agree with you on that. Because I think Miami
you're
is
not
one
a favorite against Miami.
No.
I think that I think Golden State's coming out of the West, and I don't like your chances.
Phoenix apparently is going to get Booker back soon, and Phoenix was the best player, the best team in the league all the way through.
Yeah, same with last year. You know,
Phoenix made the NBA Finals last year.
I know, but they lost to Milwaukee.
Yeah, I'm still gonna. You know what? I'll go with the Warriors too, just because they got the perfect mix right now of that veteran presence and obviously the way that they're playing.
And they got young guys coming up.
They got Poole who's done very well, and now Curry is advanced to the point physically where he's back in the starting lineup. He had 30 points last night as Golden State beat Denver in five. So they're through to the second round, too.
And if you want to talk about matchups, you got a little Draymond on the tape, man, and that will be fun to watch. If you want to watch some, if you want to read something that was well beyond my comprehension, The Ringer had an article about a month ago about the things that Draymond Green does in the court that no one understands, and that he's the only guy in the league that can do these things. And I didn't understand anyone, and I'm around the game of basketball, not at a very high level, but I'm around it quite a bit, and I have a decent knowledge on sets. In plays and things of that nature, I understood none of it.
Did you see
triple picks and all this nonsense?
Did you see Draymond Green go into Bill Simmons yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. Even though I disagree with, I hate to say it because I didn't want to defend Bill Simmons, but I disagree with Draymond Green. It was funny watching him go all in. He said, because I guess that Bill Simmons had ripped on, who was it, Green? Was it Jalen Green? Yeah. He said, how is it that this guy has a voice in deciding if Jalen Green will qualify for a Supermax deal? He clearly says F him, which sounds very personal, by the way, but he has a say in what someone earns. What work has he done in his life that qualifies him to have a say in an NBA player's salary? That is kind of weird. I guess at that point it is strange that it is the media that is able to figure that out.
So in that point, it is commendable that Draymond did that. Draymond doesn't do many things that aren't commendable.
That part of it I do agree with. But he also was like, has this guy ever played basketball? Like,
No. I mean, you've obviously, you don't have to have played in the NBA to have an opinion about the NBA. But I mean, how many, I mean, if you're, who you want to be in a foxhole with, Simmons or Draymond? Taking Draymond every time, baby. All right. Well, there you have it. Excitement all around.
Wow.
Brad Stevens is going to join us at 9.
Yep.
I don't know what we're going to talk about.
Well, there's only one thing we really need to follow up on. And last week, I was just at one point, because, you know, they were playing so well, there's nothing to say. And I was just like, do you listen to music? Like, what's the last concert you've been to?
All right, Fred. Fred was not here. What musical group do you think Brad Stevens said
Pearl
he listened
Jim.
To?
No. That's a good guess. Get even more vanilla.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
He admitted that?
Yes!
I said to him, I was like, would you know a Nirvana song? I said, because you're my age. I said, Brad, there's no reason. I said, like, Nine Inch Nails, you know, they're coming in concert. Would you consider going? He goes, I don't know anything about Nine Inch Nails. I was like,
but he coached college basketball. Like, I understand being our age and, like, with hip-hop now.
Yeah.
Like, just being whatever, because that's kind of how I am. Like, it sounds like all, like, crap. I'm just old. But, like, when he was in his 30s, he was around college kids that were obviously playing music.
Oh, sure. How about he was in college at one point in his life?
Yeah, I know. Like,
he lived. You could
ask what his favorite SST band is.
Well, I mean, I said, if I played you a Nirvana song, would you be able to identify whether it was Nirvana or not? And he said, probably not. So maybe we bust something out and see if he can tell us whether it's Nirvana or not.
He's got, I mean,
see,
come on.
See, that's the thing. Like, Nirvana, because at one point I was just thinking how absurd it was. Like, I get, you know, people who are like, oh, I don't listen to much music. Nirvana? Like, Nirvana, well, come on, man.
There's not listening to, I mean, they're part of the zeitgeist. Like, they were unavoidable. I mean, they shaped a the whole generation.
Would you argue that it's the biggest band of that era?
You can't argue that it's the biggest band of that era. It's the biggest band of that era. It changed the way people dressed. It changed the way art was made. It changed everything. People started paying attention to us part of the country. I'm not lying and being sarcastic. People started paying attention to a part of the country that no one had ever cared about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They changed the world. Now, do I think they're the band that should have done it? No, but I mean, you can't argue that they were. I mean, they weren't doing anything new. But I read all these books and all these guys that saw Nirvana when they were first starting said that they were like undeniable, that they were, that they could tell that like, these are stars, mm-hmm. like these guys are going to be stars. So what do I know? It all seemed derivative to me, but that's not what the people who know what they're talking
Never
about
Never mind, it's still a great, and listen, if albums like that usually end up wearing on you after a while, that's still a great album. It's still a great album. And as much as I, you know me, the Melvins are one of my favorite bands. So of all people, I should be like, well, you're ripping off the sound of the Melvins. I don't even care. They wrote good songs. They wrote really good songs.
If you want to get someone going, apparently Godsmack has ripped off Alice in Chains.
Well, dude, the name of their band is an Alice in Chains song.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But Joe Murray, no fan of Godsmack.
The headliners. Which I was like,
who is?
Headliners at Hogfest. We went through this. The headliners at Hogfest in Milwaukee next week.
Scalebuster.
Can you really be ripping off someone if your music is like the quality of a 2 when Alice in Chains is a 10?
That's what's interesting is that like I like Alice in Chains a lot, and he said Voodoo was a ripoff of an Alice in Chains song.
No!
And I'm like, Voodoo's awful.
Voodoo's like one of the worst songs ever.
Yeah, so I'm like,
ooh, yeah.
We're coming out in the cauldron. Yeah. I'm making up because I'm so short. I'm trying to act pretty spooky so you don't recognize
my size.
I
wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller.
But he's like, they completely ripped this song off, and I'm like, this song sucks. Like, they ripped it off from a good band?
No more reason to stay. Yeah, Godsmack is on the Dirt album.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a song on the Dirt album.
And he said their logo is derivative of something that Alice in Chains.
The sun? I don't know, maybe. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. But they're out at like the same time. Like, that's the thing. Like, you can be, people give Greta Van Fleet crap because they are basically letter perfect ripoffs of Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin's been gone for years. You can do whatever you want.
Well,
with that.
And Zeppelin stole all their crap, so it's stealing from thieves.
You're stealing from a thief.
You're like,
right?
Robin Hood. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Invitation to this show means nothing.
Here are Toucher and Rich.
You just do it. Go for the jugular.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
SST Band. I feel the pain of everyone.
Yeah, I feel nothing.
Brad Stevens is going to be on with us in about 14 minutes.
And if he's listening now, he can brush up on his Nirvana, mm-hmm. because I am calling BS on him not knowing anything about Nirvana.
Well, that was my thing. You know, I wanted to find out what concerts he'd been to lately, just because you know there wasn't a ton to talk about, and it was like you know Adele and U2 and one of the other like Fenway shows. Yeah, it was like another Fenway show, and I was like, you know, would you know a Nirvana song? Because you're my age. You know, would you know a Nirvana song if I played it for you? And he said he wasn't sure if he would. And that just, right, that seems like, I mean, even in Kroger you hear, or, you know, the grocery store and Publix and Albertsons.
Yeah, I mean, there's
a... And Star Market. It would be all over the country. Whatever region you go to in the country, that grocery store there is going to play a Nirvana song.
It's like being ignorant, like, of the Beatles. Like there's.
I mean, it is for right now.
There's a generational band, like a band that changed everything.
Put it this way, Fred.
They changed popular culture.
Yes, they were. It was a major shifting point in music. If there was to be if you were to go to the Hard Rock Cafe and there was a mural on the wall, one of the first faces you were going to see is Kurt Cobain's.
Oh, I hope so, because I do like the Hard Rock Cafe.
And Janis Joplin.
The best is
sweet.
This band, the Icarus Line, played at the Hard Rock Cafe, and they smashed one of the glass like holders that was a framed Stevie Ray Vaughan guitar, and they plugged it in and started playing, and people acted like they dug him up. Like, they're like, I can't believe you touched his guitar. Like, ooh. I'm sure he's really upset that it's off the wall at the Hard Rock Cafe.
Jim Irsay was like, I was going to buy that, man.
Yeah, I still want it, man. Those kids in the Icarus Line were all right. They had that Buddy Head website. I want to read one thing Kyle Bailey said.
Okay.
And then I'm done. If you don't know, the kid from Carolina that we were making fun of yesterday said a couple times on Twitter he was going
to... And Fred Tutcher's a mouth-breathing jackass and a liar.
He said he was going to kick my ass on Twitter a couple times yesterday. Meanwhile, he was calling our boss on his cell phone, which our boss doesn't know how he got his cell phone. He says, so someone's like, you know, they're busting his balls about how he was going to send me back to the loony bin. And he goes, which I don't care about. I mean, it's out there. He goes, you're not getting it. This is Kyle Bailey. I'm sensitive to the issue of mental health. I'm not sensitive to Fred's bout with mental health. Which was, it wasn't really a mental health thing. This isn't a difficult concept. He spends his day essing on people, and you reap what you sow. Hope we're done here. What do you do? Like, you're a sports talk radio host. Like, what are you, the guy, the Christian guy that used to do overnights?
Oh, yeah.
Faith through sports.
Yeah. That's right.
Like, wait, like, what the hell are you doing? Like, it's the whole idea. like, what are you? Like, is everything you're doing like about how super everything is? I'm sure you're a real talent.
You better not criticize anybody.
And I mean, what are you talking about? What, you're a positive all the time? Stop it, boy! Is he a no talent fool? What a fool! And now it's getting written about in, like, trade magazines.
It is pretty funny.
And it's embarrassing for him, and I hope he's embarrassed.
What's great
is someone who's embarrassed himself many times.
Well, the quotes that they're using from yours are pretty funny. What did you say? It was basically, if that no-telling hick wants to come out here and fight me, I'll be waiting for him.
Yeah, he's clubhouse.
Like, I mean, yeah, can't argue fort. With that. That's exactly what was said.
He's never going to fight me. That's why this whole thing would have been so fun. He was never going to do it. Like, there was no... He was going to lose. Like, it was... I just wanted to see how long he was going to drag it out. Sure. And then he had called our boss and ruined everything. And now I just have so little respect for him that I don't even... I guess he wins because I don't want to talk about him anymore, except I just read that. And I'm like, you're so positive... What are you, the positive sports talk radio guy? He spends his day crapping on people. So do you. Like, that's what you do.
A couple of dudes from up north
were
making fun of
Southerners. He's crapped on me. He said he was going to kick my ass. I didn't say I was going to kick his ass.
No.
So boy, does he suck. It's embarrassing. And Charlotte's a fairly major market. I mean, it's a nothing station. I mean, it's a...
Top 25 market.
25 market. I mean, it's a nothing station. I would imagine it does very poorly. I'm not. I'm just saying that either. It's like, you know, one of these crappy ones. But you know, I'm sure it's big on Odyssey's radar. But I mean, everything he says isn't creative. It isn't fun, and it's stupid.
There's a quote
and hypocritical
from the trade. It says, "Quote: Now he does do the show from a tree fort, and no girls are allowed." Tutcher said, joking about the tag that played before Bailey's show, The Clubhouse.
Yeah, he's the clubhouse. He's hanging out in the clubhouse. Anything goes in the clubhouse.
And then as your quote, Kyle Bailey, listen, if you want to fight me, you want to come to Boston and fight me, sure, I will fight you. And I'll tell you exactly where I'll be anytime you're in Boston and want to fight, I'll fight you. And he said, you started everything. You bothered me. I didn't bother you. I hung up on one of your hick writers. Big deal.
They've quoted you perfectly.
When you think of the genesis of all this, that's why it was fun. Like, the whole genesis of it is I hung up on some dumb hick.
And by the way, you even afterwards, like when we had the other guy in here who was like a writer, you know, who had called us out. When he was in here, even you were like, you know, listen, it was a dumb, stupid thing that
I
did.
Yeah, I mean, like, it wasn't like a nice thing to do.
And like, you weren't like, yeah, that guy sucks. No, you're just like, listen, it was dumb.
No, it was boring, and I didn't know what else to do. I was sick of him. It was boring. It was really boring. And when you play it back, it bores me again. Like, I'm sorry. I was hanging up on him the mature thing to do? Absolutely not. But was it like this big deal? No. It's not a big deal. And then now this guy's going to kick my ass. His producer's calling me. And then now 3 years later, he's calling my boss, trying to get me in trouble, tattling.
And he hasn't called you. That's the thing.
And he has my phone number, obviously, because that's where this whole he was going to kick my ass thing came from. Was that I asked his producer where he got my number, and like some maniac, he wouldn't tell me, which I still don't understand. And I don't know anyone. I haven't met anyone in radio who it's not like a journalistic source. It's just someone gave you their phone number. In fact, if I'm doing like a piece on someone in a magazine, I would tell them where I got their
phone
number.
It's the first thing you do. It builds a rapport. It's like, hey, we have a mutual friend. It gives you trust.
Yeah. And like what? And like if you think the guy who gave me your number or gave you my number was going to be mad that you told me, then you shouldn't be calling me. Right?
Yeah.
Then you know you're doing something wrong to begin with. Everything this guy does is a catastrophe. every time I think about this thing, it's a total catastrophe. And it would have been fun during the Carolina series, for how long it ever lasts, to see where this eventually, where he ran out of steam about this whole fighting thing. But then he had to call the boss and tattle on me. Something that I legitimately would never even occur to me to do. It would never occur to me to call someone's boss. Never in a million years. Like, you know, when it's bad enough, like you wouldn't even thought of it. Like it never would have, like, not only would I have not done it, I never would have thought of it.
I just want to know, what kind of world does he work in where he thought that the boss was going to come and say, guys, listen, shut it down.
Yeah, you guys.
And don't mention to anyone I was told to make you shut it down.
You know, you got a 20 share and, you know, this Bailey
kid. Do your show different.
This PA, this Bailey kid's got a good point. I mean, he's in Charlotte, you know. I'm sure he's pulling 20 shares there. Like, yeah, you know, this kid's got a good point. Like, you know, I like to think that we're not that difficult to work for. We don't, you know, we'd break the program director's balls that often. I mean, I have once or twice, not my finest moments, but I like the guy and we get along. What was he going to accomplish? Yeah, you know what? You're right. I got to tell them what to do. All right. Brad Stevens is going to join us in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.